Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law.
See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today, but as Jim just said before we started recording, there's nothing all that bright about today, even though the weather's pretty nice. Because if you're a Bears fan or a Jets fan, I'm a Bears fan, Jim's a Jets fan, we're off to an 0-2 start, which is not a big surprise, Jim. The likelihood of us being eliminated from playoff contention before Election Day is probably pretty good. Neither team was competitive yesterday. The Raiders beat the Jets 45-20. The Bears, I think, finally scored a touchdown in the last couple minutes. They got slaughtered by Tampa 29-7. So we're not good, and we're probably not going to be good at any point this year. The Bears were meager to start with, and now they're ravaged by injuries. The Jets are, well, they're really not good. What do you think here? Should we make some futility bet, or are you just throwing up your hands here in week two?
The traditional response of a Jets fan at this point is, hey, our plan to tank the season and get the number one pick is going great. But the sad irony is, as I was lamenting this to my fellow Jets fans and friends and family, was that, look, it's not the loss that stinks. You go into the game prepped for the loss. It's the lack of plan to lose in a way that sets you up for the future, i.e. Playing your younger players, seeing basically treating the whole season as preseason. But we had our 30-something quarterback McCown passing to your favorite, former Bear Forte, who I believe is 837 years old,
something like that.
You know, all of our old guys who we know are not part of the future plan are front and center. And I believe Jeremy Curley, formerly of a bunch of teams, but also formerly with the Jets, who I believe is now eligible for Social Security, got a bunch of targets in that game. Because, hey, why would you want to play the rookies when you're building for the future? Hey, no reason to worry about that. But, hey, we can always be kings of garbage time, and that stat sheet doesn't look so bad. So great news if you have them on the fantasy team.
Well, that's the thing. You know, the Jets missed out on their opportunity. Bear refugees are good for one season. That was the case with Brandon Marshall. That was the case with Matt Forte. You had your chance at Cutler. Now it's the Dolphins in the division. Hope that doesn't sting too much because he got an ugly win yesterday. So you probably don't regret that, though. If I were you,
look, are there any other kinds? Hey, remember we talked about politics, Greg?
Yeah, let's talk about politics. And New York Times, the Trump administration is considering closing. That's actually good news. The recently reopened United States Embassy in Havana, Cuba, after 21 Americans associated with the embassy experienced a host of unexplained health problems. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson said during an appearance on CBS's Face the Nation on Sunday that such a closing was under evaluation. Here's his very succinct statement on that.
We have it under evaluation. It's a very serious issue with respect to the harm that certain individuals have suffered. We've brought some of those people home. It's under review.
The New York Times suggesting that a closing of the embassy, were it to occur, would be less a political statement than one of concern over the risks that employees face in Havana. The American Foreign Service Association reported this month that the symptoms among those affected included mild traumatic brain injury, and Jim has commented on that oxymoron before, permanent hearing loss of balance, severe headaches, and brain swelling. And elsewhere in this story, it says that the people that have been affected say they could actually feel like they were walking in and out of powerful beams of sound that only hit certain rooms or even only parts of rooms. But of course, the New York Times is giving the Castros a pat on the back because they've agreed to allow the FBI to investigate. So, Jim, what do you make of the possibility of the State Department ordering that embassy closed?
Greg, I'm just glad to see some consequences. There's been a lot of time. But look, we know there's within the diplomatic community, there's a certain amount of knowledge of knowing that the local intelligence agencies, they may, you know, follow you. There's a possibility they may look in your place when you're not around. There are various things that, you know, they check out the hotel rooms of visiting diplomats or visiting U.S. staffers and stuff like that. There's just kind of a certain things you accept in the realm of, you could say it's counterintelligence or even almost like mischief for countries they don't like. This goes beyond that. As you said, this is, you know, there's, as I said, there's no such thing as mild traumatic brain damage. And this is the sort of thing where, like, what I really find galling about this is that the U.S. did reopen its embassy and did attempt to reestablish relationships, a relationship with the Cuban government, something that a lot of us disagreed with. But Obama outstretched his hand and the Cubans bit it. They were never going to get a better opportunity to have a good relationship with the U.S. than the outreach that Obama made. And they turned around and spat in our faces. Or at the very least, they attacked our diplomats. This is a difference in scale of what the Iranians did, but not at its core. We have diplomats over there who are attempting to conduct business, attempting to improve relations between the two countries, and the Cubans attacked them. So of course we should be shutting down this embassy. Of course we should be reestablishing sanctions. We should be throwing everything at these people to demonstrate that, hey, if you attack our people, there will be a serious consequence. And so I applaud the Trump administration for doing this. I hope they follow through. And I hope enough pressure is brought to the Cubans or before they ever get another outreach like that, they have to demonstrate that they will never do something like that. I think the only real way to know that for certain is to effectively end the basically end the regime. I don't think the Castro regime can be trusted to ever treat Americans fairly or with respect or in accordance with international agreements.
Wow. Elsewhere in the story, Heather Nauert, the spokeswoman for the State Department, says it is an aggressive investigation that continues, and we will continue doing this until we find out who or what is responsible for this. And also, five different Republican senators have urged the State Department to remove all Cuban diplomats from the United States as a result of this as well. So getting tough is the right way to go here. So well done. Let's see what the Secretary of State ultimately decides, or perhaps even the president. All right, on to the bad martini now, Jim. And you discussed this at some length in The Jolt today. We talked about this to some extent on Friday, although we didn't know the details. We talked about the attempted bombing, and it was a bomb. It wasn't perhaps a fully detonated bomb, but over 20 people were injured, some of them very badly burned, due to a bucket bomb on the tube in London. And now, as you report, the arrest of the London bomber showcases another colossal problem for our friends in the United Kingdom. This guy entered the country as a 15-year-old refugee, and within 3 years, he had become a terrorist. Now, quoting the UK Telegraph, the 18-year-old who is suspected of placing the powerful device on a rush hour tube train Friday morning was detained by Kent police as he tried to purchase a ferry ticket to Calais across Europe to get to the so-called jungle camp there. As an unaccompanied child, he was allowed entry to the UK and, after being processed through a migrant center in Kent, was found a home with a foster family in Sunbury-on-Thames. However, detectives will now be seeking to establish if those responsible for the failed attack had traveled to Britain as genuine refugees or if they were actually members of the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant, who had been sent to specifically carry out an attack. So it's also quoted a security consultant there saying, I think the age of the man arrested is significant. We're not talking about people in their 40s or 50s. We're talking about young people. This is a generational struggle that will be difficult to root out. So, Jim, it doesn't mean we don't take any refugees, but the idea that we just let them all in because they live in a terrible part of the world that's constantly in crisis, that argument is losing a lot of steam today, too.
Absolutely. I was trying to make this point because as soon as you saw the headline, you know, bomber was a refugee, people are like, aha, this proves Trump is right and we should never take in refugees. Okay, we clearly, as long as you check out the refugee and they know that they have no ties to terrorism or jihadism, there's no indication that they want to do that, then yes, we should take in refugees. We are a caring and compassionate country. Having said that, this does indicate that everybody who said that when Trump initially made these efforts to restrict the number of refugees coming in, that we were cold and heartless and turning our backs on women and children. Look, this is according to these reports in the British newspapers, this was a 15-year-old who came over from Iraq, who was a refugee, was an orphan. There was not enough to indicate that this person had any ties to ISIS or any other terror group. And here's the thing, at least so far, I don't think this is some sort of ISIS sleeper agent or something like that. The idea that he was radicalized at age 13 or 14 and has been secretly plotting this all along. I actually think this is a much more disturbing scenario than an ISIS sleeper agent. I think this is a teenager Muslim who came over from Iraq, was put into the hands of a foster family in the UK. So far, we have not had any indication that this, you know, foster family was abusive or you know, some sort of reason that, you know, would have driven this person. This Iraqi teenager was given an opportunity that many, many refugees would give their left arm for, right, to restart a new life with a new family in one of the freest countries in the world. And it appears this teenager discovered jihadism, discovered radical, decided, no, I don't like this opportunity I've been given. I hate my host country, and I want to kill people in my host country. And so presumably, this is extrapolating, but it seems reasonably a reasonable conclusion based on what we know about past acts of terrorism, that at some point this teenager decided that the only way to be a good Muslim is to blow people up, right? That if I just go to mosque and pray and do all that kind of stuff, I'm not really being a good person. Or I'm not being sufficiently Muslim. No. The real way I can do it is by killing people. Of course, also there's some indication that he had gone to taking drugs and gone to strip clubs and done all the other ways in which these Muslim jihadists don't really live up to the true teachings of the Quran. What you see here, and I kind of wonder if this is almost like when you see school shootings here in the United States, an angry young man who is just flat out angry at the world, confused, not sure what their purpose is, and things like that. And they decide the best way to deal with it is to put together a bomb. By lashing out with violence at innocent people. Certainly, we hope they throw the book at this, but I think this is even more troubling than the idea of terrorists coming into the country posing as refugees. It's that refugees can come into Western countries, and because they've done, particularly in the UK, they've done such a poor job of dealing with these radical imams and all of these forces, these chat rooms, all these different ways that young Muslims get radicalized, that the refugees can come here with no problems and then turn into problems because of the natural dynamics going on in the UK right now. Which I think is a much bigger problem and a much more insidious problem because there are a lot of Muslims in the United Kingdom, a lot of young people in the United Kingdom, and honestly, same thing here in the United States. And a good question, it's a fair question. Thankfully, we don't have this issue on this scale in the United States, but the UK has really got to ask itself, okay, we can't blame this on some far-off, cleric over in Iraq or Syria or something like that. This person discovered radicalism here, and that is the real problem here. So I hope that the UK has, starts refocusing on this, guys, because you are not addressing this issue on the scale that it needs to be addressed.
Yeah, Jim, I think that's an excellent point, and it kind of speaks to the find somebody else to blame culture that we live in and that they live in Western Europe and a lot of different parts of the world. My life's not, and you've said this before, my life's not what I think it should be at this point, and so it's somebody's fault, and these are very impressionable people, whether they're listening to radicals on campus, affiliating with Antifa, radical mosques, whatever it's going to be, they're finding an answer to why their life stinks, and it finds a very receptive audience.
I concur. And we have a lot of problems going on in this world, but you kind of wonder if this is being addressed with the intensity that it deserves, because we have, microaggressions, climate change, all these things that are either small scale or far off. This is people trying to blow up people in the UK. This is like the fourth deadly attack this year. Fifth, I think, if you count Manchester, it was the fourth one in London. I don't understand how this is not issue 1, 2, and 3, for the British government right now.
No, absolutely. Personal responsibility is a dying idea. And if only somebody had written a book, perhaps with a friend, a co-author, about the importance of doing your own heavy lifting and figuring out how to get a job and raising a family and being a contributing
Thank you,
member
Greg.
To society.
I don't know if that's exactly the first thing I would throw at a jihadist. probably throw a grenade first, but if you get them early enough, you can throw the book at them. And if you throw it with enough velocity, you can really do some damage.
All right. Let's move on to our crazy martini, which is actually a follow-up to our crazy martini from last week. This is actually a good crazy martini. That is an extremely rare species, but we're happy to have it. Turns out, this is from Channel 2 in Baltimore, officials in the Maryland city of College Park actually failed to pass a charter amendment that would have allowed non-citizens to vote in municipal elections. The city made the announcement Friday after officials realized that the amendment failed to get enough votes when it was initially believed it had passed. For most council actions, a simple majority of members present is needed for passage, but the city charter was changed in June to require approval by 6 members to change the charter. The vote Tuesday night was 4-3, with 1 abstention. The city's mayor and council members issued a statement Friday announcing the mistake, quote, with a considerable degree of embarrassment and regret. The council is scheduled to discuss the development at a work session on Tuesday. So, Jim, we talked last week, I think maybe in conjunction with that same story, about people not understanding the Constitution. Here you've got a city council that doesn't even know their own charter. Well done, people.
I'm hoping that as they made the announcement, they had some sort of sad trombone in the background. Wah, 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 wah. You know, this might be my favorite article of the day, Greg, because I just kind of observe when they say this is said with, you know, considerable embarrassment. Maybe not considerable enough. You know? Oh, by the way, we totally don't know how our own rules for passing a law are. Sorry about that. I assume they will attempt to go back to this at some point. But this had really gotten my dander up last week, because I really wanted to say to these 4 members of the College Park Council, what are the advantages of citizenship? If you're going to give the vote to people who are here illegally, just because they may have entered the country illegally, they're not citizens. They have no proper paperwork, but you can vote here. Because we want to be compassionate, because we want to be caring. What is the advantage of citizenship? If you get all the rights of citizenship without any of the responsibilities, i.e. paying taxes, following, you know, registering to vote, doing all the things you're supposed to do, I don't understand why we are so eager, or at least certain people among us are so eager to embrace a system that creates no distinction between a citizen and those who are not citizens. I think that citizenship should have some privileges. So they used to say is it American Express card? Membership has its privileges.
Yes.
If you want people to be Americans and be American citizens, if you give the vote to anybody, then you might as well live in the shadows. You might as well not go forth and fully engage with the society you've chosen to live in, because you get all the benefits and you don't have any of the costs or anything like that. I don't think that, you know, wanting only citizens to vote, I don't think it's racist. I don't think it's xenophobic. I don't think it's unfair. I don't think there's anything, you know, close to that. I think it's just common sense, right? That the people who just make the government decision, the people who the citizens should decide, not just anybody who just happens to show up here. Listeners probably know I lived in Turkey for 2 years. I didn't get to vote in the elections over there. If you have friends from Canada or Mexico, anywhere else in the whole wide world, if they show up and decide to visit, or they're here on a tourist visa, or they just are here on a temporary stay or something like that, they don't get to vote. They're not supposed to get out of vote. They're not really, they haven't, you know, fully committed to the country. If you're going to allow an illegal immigrant to vote in your elections, why would you not allow children to vote in your elections? Why, you know, look, at least the children were born here. At least the children are citizens.
Oh, that's coming.
You have to draw a line somewhere on who is allowed to vote and who is not. And this is the logic of this completely escapes me. To say nothing of the fact that how much it dilutes the vote of people who are citizens, which you can't help but feel is a not so subtle motivation there.
The kids' vote push is probably coming. Some of these Maryland towns have also mm-hmm. allowed people as young as 16 to vote in municipal elections. So don't think that that's not on the horizon. My favorite part, though, Jim, is that they're embarrassed that they didn't know their own charter, which they should be embarrassed about, not about actually allowing illegal immigrants to vote in our elections. So
layer of that embarrassment. Just keep piling it up there like a Dagwood sandwich.
Way to go, College Park. Way to go.
Way to go, College Park, yes.
Oh, Jim, good start to the week. Talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today, and be sure to tune in again on Tuesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch. Have a great day, everyone.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.